Yeah, there is right here. There is, there should be a source sheet, two sides, one page, two sides. Okay. In this week's parsha, we continue the role of the Mikdash in Klal Yisrael and Jewish history. And of course, there's so much symbolism of our avoda today and the yearning that we have for the Beit HaMikdash. The difference between last week's parsha and this week's parsha is that last week's parsha we introduced, for the most part, and I think you've heard some ideas that this is not 100% true, but primarily Kelim, the Mishkan itself and the Kelim within, is last week's parsha, primarily. We know that there's an exception. And primarily, this week's parsha deals with the people whose job it is to run the Mishkan. Primarily, specifically, the Kohanim and the Levim. And this week's parsha is introduced not by the first pasuk in the parsha, but really by the third pasuk in the parsha, and it's at the very top of your page. V'ata hakrev eilecha et Aharon achicha v'et banav ito, mitoch b'nei Yisrael lecha hanoli, Aharon Nadav avihu Elazar v'Tamar b'nei Aharon. And the rest of the parsha, almost the entire rest of the parsha, deals with Aharon, the big day kahuna, and becoming Kohanim. As a matter of fact, I skipped the first two psukim, but the Ibn Ezra says that that is actually an introduction to the rest of the parsha also. The parsha begins, V'ata, the next source down. It's out of order chronologically, but I wanted to say that 98% of the parsha deals with Kohanim and their begadim and their kelim in general and becoming Kohanim. But even the first two psukim, V'ata titzavet b'nei Yisrael v'yikchu elecha shemen zayit zach katit lamaor leha'alot ner tamid v'ohel moed michutz laparochet asher la'idut yarochotzo aron uvanav me'erev ad boker lifnei Hashem chukat olam l'dorotam me'et b'nei Yisrael. It comes from b'nei Yisrael. You'll take a look at the Ibn Ezra, which I printed down there. The Ibn Ezra says that this is an introduction to Kohanim. Just like the oil that you have to make, kuelecha shemen zayit zach katit lamaor, just like that, shemen zayit zach has to be separate and unique and holy and pure, so too the Kohanim. They have to be separate and unique and holy and pure. That's Ibn Ezra. So we learn about the Kohanim, we learn about the Big Day Kahuna, and it causes us to think about a number of questions about Kohanim. Some of them are obvious, some of them not so. I'm going to go through them sort of quickly because I'd like to share with you an idea which I think helps us understand Kohanim and the Kahuna, but also about service in the Beit HaMikdash, and I'll even go beyond that, our service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think so. I've never seen these ideas all in one place, but I'm hoping that I'm faithfully conveying an idea that comes from a few places which I'll share with you. Okay. Question number one, we're going to open the Rambam. And that's the next source in. The first question comes from the Rambam. The Rambam Hilchot Klei HaMikdash is as follows. Halacha Dalet. Bigdei Kehuna Mitzvatan Sheyihiyu Chadashim Na'im Umeshulashim Kederech Bigdei Hagedolim Sheneemar Lechavod Ulatifaret. And if they were, as the Rambam continues, if they are torn, if they are too big for the Kohen, if they're too small for the Kohen, if they're so big and they need a belt to hold them, then the Kohen who wears them and does avoda, the avoda is pitsula. The big day kahuna have to fit him perfectly. They have to be nice and new, and they can't be too big and can't be too small, can't be too worn, can't have stains. And our question number one is why? Who cares? Why is that the halacha? Why is it the halacha? Why do we care if begadim fit or don't fit? Doesn't Hashem care about the inside and not the outside? Why do I care what they look like? That is question number one. The next halacha, at least on this source sheet, halacha zayin. Kol hakol bigdei hakohanim einan ba'im ela mishel tzibur. The bigadim of a kohen have to come from communal resources. And even if somebody, the Rambam continues, and wants to donate, you know, every institution in the world doesn't have money coming out of its ears. So Bill Gates comes. I want to, and let's pretend he's a Kohen for some reason. Why not? I guess he's able to buy into it, maybe. He's a, you know, I want to buy my own. Why can't we say yes? Begadi must belong to the Tzibur, must come from the Tzibur. And the question is, why? Why can't a Kohen buy his own clothing? Question three, if I'm going too fast, you'll tell me. Question number three says the Rambam in Halacha Yud Bet. It's the next Rambam down, the way we have it. Asur, says the Rambam, Asur lekohen hedyot lilovsho ela bishat avoda. The Ravid disagrees, but the Rambam paskins that a kohen doing the avoda must wear his begadim. When he's done with his avoda, he must take them off. Not only that, the Rambam says, we know from the Mishnah in Perek Hey of Masechet Tamid, that the Kohanim used to have a lottery every single morning, many lotteries. And if they lost all the lotteries and they get zero jobs that day, the Mishnah tells us they must go back to the locker room called the Beit Moked or the Lishkat Pinchas HaMalbish and take off the clothes and wear regular clothes until his job was needed for something else. Now, as a side point and a different idea, which is very beautiful in itself, the Kohen Gadol, that is not the halacha. The Kohen Gadol is allowed to wear his clothing when he's shopping and when he's doing, well, maybe not off of Harabait, but on Harabait, if he's talking to people or if he's, you know, I don't know what, doing whatever he's doing, he's allowed to wear his big day kahuna, but a regular Kohen, a Kohen Hedyot, may not, according to the Rambam. The Raiva disagrees. And our question is why? Why can't a Kohen wear his begadim all the time? He'll keep them clean, because we said they have to be clean. He'll keep them nice and new, they got to be nice and new. But why? Why can't he wear them all the time? Three questions about Kohanim, I want to go further with a few more questions, okay? The fourth question is a question that can only be appreciated if we understand the way the Rambam works and the way people who learn the Rambam learn him. A lot of you are learning Sfarim, for example, of Rabbi Soloveitchik. This is definitely a brisker kind of question related to the way the Rambam wrote. You know that people who learn the Rambam word for word are medayek in word for word. You also may know that the people who learn the Rambam learn about the way he organized his Sefer, his Sfarim in general, and specifically we're talking now about the Yad HaChazakah, the Mishnah Torah, the Yad HaChazakah. Why is it called the Yad? Yafeh, there's 14 Sfarim. 14 Sfarim. And you know, you could go through Sefer Hamada, and Sefer Ahava, and Sefer Zmanim. And so, people who learn the Rambam, stick with this because this is fascinating, I think it is, figure out, ask how he organizes halacha, and why is this halacha here and not there? Why are these halachot organized like this and not like that? So if that's a general question, the eighth sefer is called Sefer HaAvodah. The eighth sefer in his Mishnah Torah, Yad HaChazakah, is called Sefer HaAvodah, the eighth one. And in Sefer HaAvodah, of course, the Rambam lists halachot related to the Beit HaMikdash. So you have Hilchot Beit HaBechira, and you have, I'm skipping a little bit, Hilchot Tzmidin U'Musafin, and Hilchot Maaseh Korbanot, and Hilchot Psulei HaMukdashin, etc. So in Sefer HaAvodah, the third set of halachot, I'm sorry, the second is called Hilchot Klei HaMikdash V'HaOvdim Bo. In Sefer HaAvodah, the second set of halachot are called Hilchot Klei HaMikdash V'HaOvdim Bo. So part of this question is, why would he put those two together? Hilchot Klei HaMikdash V'ha Ovdim Bo. Now the question gets even stronger if we do a summary of the 10 prakim in Hilchot Klei HaMikdash V'ha Ovdim Bo. You with me? Within the 10 prakim of Hilchot Klei HaMikdash V'ha Ovdim Bo, you'd think that there would be halachot about Klei HaMikdash, and there would be halachot about the ones who work in the Mikdash. Wouldn't you think so? Good. The first and second prakim in Hilchot Klei HaMikdash V'ha Ovdim Bo are about the kelim in the Beit HaMikdash. The halachot of how to build them, how to make them, what happens if they get lost, what happens if they get broken, what happens if they get ruined. That happens sometimes. So, with me? Hilchot Klei HaMikdash V'ha Ovdim Bo has 10 prakim. Perek Aleph and Perek Bet is all about the kelim. Perek Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin, Chet, Tet, Yud are all about the people who work in the Beit HaMikdash. All about the people who work in the Beit HaMikdash. Perek Gimel is about the Levim. Perek Dalet is about the Kohen Gadol. Perek Hey, I'm sorry, Dalet and Hey are about the Kohen Gadol. Perek Vav are about Yisrael's job in the Mikdash. You know, we had jobs also. We also were divided into groups, and we also had to come to the Mikdash once every 24 years and to be part of the Korbanot process. We can't be in the Mikdash itself. We're not allowed there, but nearby. Perek Zayin is about people who are appointed permanent jobs. And Chet, Tet, and Yud are all about Big Day Kahuna. You with me, everyone? And that's strange. Eight-tenths of Hilchot Klei HaMikdash V'ha Ovdim Bo are about the people. And only two prakim about the kelim. Why would the Rambam lump these two together? Why wouldn't he just separate them, especially if 80% of the prakim are about the people? You follow? It's a good question. If you follow the way the Rambam works and learns and organizes his halachot, and he thought about them, we'll assume, it doesn't seem to make sense. That is going to be our question number. What question am I up to? Question 4. So we have 1, 2, and 3 are questions about the begadim themselves. Why do they have to be nice and clean? Why do we care about them? Who owns them? Why do we care about who owns them? Why can't I wear them anywhere I want? Or even when I'm not doing the avoda? Question 4 is about the Kohanim in general. Why would the Rambam lump Hilchot Klei HaMikdash V'ha Ovdim Bo, especially if Ovdim Bo is the majority of those halachot? Have a separate halacha called Hilchot Kohanim Levim, or Hilchot Avdei or Ovdei Beit HaBechira. Why would the Rambam put them together? What message is the Rambam trying to teach us in this halacha? Continuing on with some more questions, and these are all in very similar questions to what you may have heard in the past, and soon we'll get to an answer, God willing. And we have to ask the question that comes all the way from Parshat Emor. Parshat Emor, you'll take a look in Perek Chaf Aleph, that we know that there's halachot about mumim, certain kinds of blemishes that a kohen, if they have, they're not allowed to serve in the Mikdash, and if they do, their avodas psula. And we've got to ask the question, doesn't Hashem look at the heart? Doesn't Hashem look at the person's intentions? It's a fair question. We can't go into too much detail, but you'll take a look in Perek Chaf Aleph, in Parshat Emor, in Vayikra. Who cares? Hashem cares. Shouldn't Hashem just have everybody work in the Mikdash? Or, okay, Kohanim. But Kohanim, who cares if you look like this or look like that? And you look, the psukim are very specific. That is going to be our question number 5. Question number 6 is a question that comes straight from my emotions. And I don't know how else to say it. Question is like this. You have a shul, and the congregants of this shul, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Kiva Eger, Chasim Sofer, Levil Nagon, Rashi, it's a big shul, a lot of members. You know, you've got Bali Tosfot, you've got Moshe Rabbeinu in that shul. You've got the rabbi, he's a congregant there. And it's time for Torah reading. Amen. Kol habugodol Torah, nu kovod Torah. Kohen krav ya'amod. Wait, was there a Kohen? Rabbi Soloveitchik, are you a Kohen? No. Vilna Gaon, are you a Kohen? No. Moshe Rabbeinu, are you a Kohen? No. Oh, wait a second. There's a 13-year-old boy who's a Kohen. Little kid. David, come here. Ya'amod, Kohen. Moshe screams, I should get Kohen. Moshe, have a seat. Sorry. The Vilna Gaon, I should get Kohen. Of course, they would never yell like that, but, you know, Rashi, of course, I should get Kohen. Rabbi Soloveitchik was a Levi. Sorry, everybody sit down. And no talking. Shh. No talking in shul. A lot of talking. Shh. David, 13-year-old Kohen, coming. How absurd is that? Is that the most absurd thing in the world? And if you're in Israel, Moshe couldn't join that shul. But if you're in Israel, Rabbi Soloveitchik is sitting there, and I you notice I'm not using Rav Kook. Why can't I use Rav Kook in the story? He was a Kohen. But, and what happens when we get to repetition this one? Esrei chazot ha-shatz? Rabbi Soloveitchik sits with his head bowed, and Rashi sits with his head bowed. Moshe Rabbeinu sits with his head bowed. And little David Cohn, you have a brother? I don't know. I'm sure there's a boy named David Cohn. Little 13-year-old, his bar mitzvah was yesterday. Gets up. He doesn't know how to tie his own shoes. And that's just an exaggeration. He gets up, and he, Yivarechecha. And at the end, Amen. Rabbi Soloveitchik says Amen, and Moshe Rabbeinu says Amen. That's absurd. Isn't that absurd? In my shul, I want Moshe to get up and give me a bracha. I want, you know, Rabbi Soloveitchik to get me a bracha. I saw this similar with my own eyes in our community used to be the Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik. He's now the rabbi of your shul, right? Is he the rabbi of your shul? What did I say? I meant Soloveitchik. I said, right, Rav Lichtenstein. Yeah. Rav Meir Lichtenstein, rabbi, he's the rabbi of Ayelet's shul, but he used to be in our community. And when his son had a bar mitzvah, his son's name is Yosef Dov Lichtenstein. He's the son-in-law of he's the son of Rav Lichtenstein, the grandson of Rabbi Soloveitchik. And I remember being at this bar mitzvah, and you know, there's a boy laning, and Rabbi Meir Lichtenstein is there, and Rav Aaron Lichtenstein is there, and somebody got Kohen. And it was striking that, isn't that interesting? When we have a, how many details should I give? We have a Chayal Bodeh that lives with us in our family, lives in our home. And he's a Kohen. And it happened a few weeks ago. He's in the army now, but he was home for Shabbos with us for Shabbos, and my father was there. And I had to ask him, he's a wonderful boy, permission, is it okay if I ask my father to lead benching? It's absurd. Is it absurd? It's absurd. So that's our sixth question. I don't have a more sophisticated way to ask that question other than why. And so we have to summarize. We've got six questions, and we can come up with another six if we want. Why do the begadim have to fit properly? Two, why can't a Kohen wear his own clothing? Three, why can't the Kohen wear clothing off when he's not doing? Why does it take them off? Why can't he wear them when he's not doing the avoda? Four, the general question of, right, so far? Hilcho klei hamikdash ve'avodim bo, why? Why did he lump them together if 80% of the halachot refer to the people who work there and not the kelim themselves? Question five, we said, is why do I care about a mum? Let everybody, every Kohen join. And question six, why does little 13-year-old David Cohn get an aliyah before Rabbi Soloveitchik? Why does little 13-year-old David Cohn get up and do duchanim, doing the bracha, birkat kohanim, when we want to hear bracha from other people? You with me so far? I'd like to suggest the following idea. And in order to do that, we have to turn to Parshat Naso. Parshat Naso, in addition to so many other halachot, sota, and nazir, vayibin soa aaron, and the gifts of the nasi'im, what psukim am I referring to? Why am I turning to Parshat Naso? Yafeh, Birkat Kohanim. And you have it in front of you here, Bamidbar Parshat Naso Perek Vav, smack in the middle of the page. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, daber el Aharon, ve'el banav lemor, ko tevarachu, et b'nei Yisrael amor lahem, yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'yichuneka, yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom, v'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael, va'ani avarchem. V'samu et shemi, we don't say those psukim usually in davening, but that's in the Torah. It's the whole parasha there.
V'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael va'ani avarchem. Says Hashem, Kotev Aruchu, you should know that the only place in all of Tanakh where the expression Kotev Aruchu, or even the word Tevaruchu appears, is right here. Hashem, it's a very rare word, as we're going to see why. We're getting a bracha from Kohanim, Kotev Aruchu b'nei Yisrael. In the Beit HaMikdash we get the brachot. Bizman Hazeh, if you're zocha to live in Israel, you hear them every single day. Amen. What does it mean? I'm not going to go through the Rashi and the Rashbam right now, which I did quote, but I want to skip to a Sifri. The Sifri, I think, gives us the beginning of an answer and an approach to the what Kohani mean to you and to me. The Sifri says as follows, Va'ani avarchem, shelo yihiyu Yisrael omrim. That, what does it mean, Va'ani avarchem? We don't want B'nai Yisrael. I'm the second to the last source on the first side. Shelo yihiyu Yisrael omrim birchotenu tluyot bekohanim. Do not, no one can say that our brachot are tluyot bekohanim. Talmud lomar va'ani avarchem. Who gives them brachot? I do, says God. And Shelo yihiyu ha-kohanim omrim anu nivarech et Yisrael, Talmud lomar va'ani avarchem, ani avarech et ami Yisrael. V'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael va'ani avarchem. Hashem says in this medrash, we don't want the b'nei Yisrael thinking that the bracha is coming from Kohanim, and we don't want the Kohanim to think that the bracha are coming from Kohanim. They come from me, says God. A similar medrash is a Tanchuma underlined. But you'll see that it comes from B'nai Yisrael. Look at the underline. I'm skipping to the bottom of the first page. Amra Knesset Yisrael Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam La Kohanim Ata Omer Shivarchu Otanu. By the way, you'll see that this medrash is referring to Ba'ali Mumim, one of our questions about Mumim. They said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, La Kohanim Ata Omer Shivarchu Otanu, Ein Anu Tzrichim Ela Lebirchatcha, V'Hiliyotenu Mitbarchim Mipicha. We want your bracha, Hashem. We don't want the Kohanim's bracha. Shene'emar Hashkifa Mim'on Kotchecha, Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Af Alpi She'amarti La Kohanim, She'yihiyu Mevarchin Atchem, Ani Omeid Imahem U'mevarech Atchem. These two midrashim give us an indication of so much of what goes on in the Beit HaMikdash and Kohanim specifically, and it actually is going to go and even touch upon the brachot that you and I sometimes get from people. People give you a bracha, Mitzvah Hashem, you should have parnasa, min hashamayim, b'shefa, amen. What does that mean? What does it mean? What does it mean to get a bracha from somebody? A central message about Kohanim and Birkat Kohanim that you'll see this one idea, which is might be obvious, I think helps us understand these questions and others. A bracha that we receive from the Kohanim, indeed every bracha that we receive from anyone, comes from Hashem and only Hashem. The avoda in the Mikdash is to receive brachot from Hashem. Listen to this. The Kohanim must do everything they can, and the halachot are built in every way that it can to make the Kohanim, you ready for this? As invisible as possible. As invisible as possible. Literally, they must do everything they can to deflect personal attention away from themselves. We honor them, but the honor comes because of Hashem. They give us brachot, the brachot comes from Hashem. And everything that happens and everything that we do is in order to deflect attention away from the individual. I don't care if you're 13 or 33 or 53. I don't care if you're a Talmud Chacham or not. I don't care if you just were bar mitzvah yesterday or you're Rav Kook. It's not about you. And therefore, Rabbi Soloveitchik, yes, you're going to come second. Levim are the same way, by the way. If Rabbi Soloveitchik were Yisrael, he'd get Shlishi. We'd give Levi to Levi Siegel, you know, right? That's often a Levi name, or, you know, that's a, and David Cohn gets Rishon, Kohen, and Levi Siegel gets Shani, and Rabbi Soloveitchik, again, assuming that he wasn't a Levi. Why? To deflect attention. By the way, since when anywhere in Judaism do we ever have kavod stemming from who you're born from? That could be question number 7. Since when? When do we ever have that? You know the old joke about the person who wants to be a Kohen? You know the joke. I'm not going to tell the joke. The person who wants to be a Kohen goes to his rabbi, wants to be a Kohen. Person goes to... I once told a punchline of a joke that no one had heard before, and I'm not going to do that mistake again, but a person goes to a Kohen. No. A person goes to a rabbi and says, Rabbi, I want to be a Kohen. The rabbi says, no such thing, you can't. I really want to be a Kohen. No such thing. Are you... Okay, the rabbi says, all right, I'll just deflect him for a minute. How many of you have heard this joke before? Every hand should be raised. It's like literacy 101. Right, ladies? They should. Anyway, so the rabbi deflects him and he says, I'll tell you what you got to do. You got to learn Hilchot Kahuna, Hilchot Klei HaMikdash V'Ha'ovdim Bo for 10 years. You got to donate $1 million to the shul. That's part of the joke, but that's not okay. Anyway, the rabbi, the guy walks away for 10 years, steiging away in Ateret Kohanim, you know, mamish learning in the kolel of Machon HaMikdash, 10 years, $1 million, and finally he comes back. Rabbi, I'm here, I did it. The rabbi can't believe his eyes. He goes, okay, what can I tell you? But please, after all that time, why? Why do you want to be a Kohen so badly? And the guy says, I'll tell you why. Because my father was a Kohen, and his father was a Kohen, and I also want to be a Kohen. You see what I did there? So now you know, now you know. Since whenever do we hear that? Little David Cohn did nothing to become a Kohen. All he did was be born to his father, David Cohn Sr. And the answer is that is exactly the answer. If it was based on personal merit, then I would be getting a bracha from a big Kohen. No such thing. He's a vehicle. A God doesn't need anything more than a Kohen, so to speak. He doesn't need the Kohen either. He doesn't need little David Cohen, 13-year-old. That's all we need. And I could get that bracha from Hashem. It's not related to him. And that's why everything he does can't stand out. He can't own his own clothing. His clothing, imagine if you were seeing 1,000 soldiers march in front of you. Hut two, hut two, hut two. You know, in Israel they say, no, small, 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 you mean small. When I was in the army, this is true. I told you?
Yeah.
Oh, I told you. Okay, it's a true story. I'll remind you. I should remind you. When did I tell you? Oh, in a class I told you. Ah, okay. Basically, when I was in the army, at one time, more than once, but one specific time, I was in charge of other soldiers, and I had to march them in a certain way. So, you know, b'makom droch, and, you know, in English, a marching place, and you're supposed to say, small, 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 you mean small, kadima tzad, small, that's the whole thing. I'm reliving my whole experience. Anyway, so I didn't think there were any sergeants or officers around, so I decided to have a little fun, which is not my usual story. Anyway, so, but, you know, kadima tzad, and we start marching. And instead of saying small, small, I started saying yamin, yamin, yamin the whole time. Yamin, 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 yamin. And it was really funny until I realized that right behind me the sergeant was standing, and they were all laughing, and he was laughing, and I got in trouble. So go figure to the, you know, you think if you're a class clown you don't get in trouble, but, you know, you do. Anyway, I didn't always get in trouble, but the stories that when you get in trouble are the ones that I want to share. What am I going to tell you? The next day I was perfectly fine, but that's not a fun, you know. Anyway, if I were to watch 1,000 soldiers marching by, and they're all wearing green, and the boots, and the hats, and the exact same thing, and one guy's wearing a purple uniform with flowers in his head, you'd say, like, whoa, who is that? That stands out, right? That stands out. So they are not allowed to stand out. They've got to be invisible. They are, in terms of God's service, nothing. And so their clothing can't be too big or too small. Or else, imagine a soldier walking with his uniform past his fingertips. Imagine a Kohen with a mum. Every Kohen, every soldier is walking, and this one's limping, or this one's whatever. It singles out. We cannot single out any individual because it's not about the individual. That's why perhaps when the Rambam says Hilchot Kleya Mikdash Via Ovdim Bo, you know what a Kohen is? And I apologize to Shifi and to Dasa, right? And who else is a Bat Kohen? Bat Kohen, Bat Kohen, Bat Kohen. I apologize, all of you. They're Kelim. They're Kelim. They're literally Kelim. I don't pay, in the Beit HaMikdash. In the Beit HaMikdash. And I'm sure your fathers and brothers are all very special people, but we don't, excuse me for saying this, for these purposes, we don't care, we don't want to care. It distracts us from the fact that the bracha comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you turn the page over, there's so much to say, but I don't have time to say it all. Turn your page over, you'll see the Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Hirsch, says this in Bamidbar Vav. That V does not stand for five, that V stands for verse. So it's Perek Vav Chav Zayin. You see Rabbi Hirsch on the second page? See it says V27? It's not 527, it's Perek Vav, verse 27. V'samu et Shemi. V'samu et Shemi al B'nei Yisrael, says Rabbi Hirsch. The priests do not bless Israel. Their words have no power of conferring blessing. Their mission is only Lasum Shmi al B'nei Yisrael. The blessing itself I look after, says God. Ani Avarchem. To lay the name of God impressively on Israel is their job. To make Israel the bearers of God's name is their job. To impress the name of God on every phase of Israel. To proclaim that Israel looks to God and to God alone for all protection, all revelation, all gifts, all elevation, and all peace and exit from Him. Skip down to the third to the last sentence. For this proclamation of God's name over Israel, for that, the priest is to be the instrument. To be the instrument for a nation that is to be blessed, and then God will bless them. And there's so many other halachot, I'm running out of time, there's so many other ideas that it comes from. The Rambam himself says that in Hilchot Nesiat Kapayim, perhaps why you're not allowed to look at their hands. Why do we cover our eyes, and maybe you'll see some men put the talis over their heads. Why don't we just look at the Kohen? Because I don't want to look at the Kohen. It's not about the Kohen, it's about Hashem. It's Hashem giving me the bracha. And this is true, ladies, about every single bracha we ever receive. Humans like shortcuts. Humans like shortcuts. We like it. We all do. And so what do? I go to a tzaddik and get a bracha. And I should, and we should, and it's nice. But the bracha comes from the connection to the person and the connection and uncovering, unlocking that which Hashem wants to be unlocked and uncovered. And the person probably knows already. And that's also why we say a birkat hedyot. Al tehi birkat hedyot kala be'enecha. You heard that Gemara before. Regular bracha. I had the zechut, I think I told you this, I had the zechut once of being a sandik, holding a boy during his brit milah. And that was, for the part that I stayed conscious for, was a very powerful experience. Hashem gave me koach and I stayed and I even looked, which is, a big deal for me and other people who are queasy, you can understand what I'm saying. But I didn't realize that it was a Sephardic bris. And afterward, there's a minhag to get a bracha from the sandik. Now, they expected me to... But that's not what a bracha is. I don't have any magical powers. I'm not Harry Potter, chas v'shalom. I'm a regular person. And so, every person who came over to me, I told them that this is midin birkat hedyot. If you want a bracha, you're fine, but I don't nothing special. Okay. Then they said, can you give me a bracha? And then I had to ask them, what am I giving you a bracha for? And people were, my relatives who gave me the kavod to be a sandik, were laughing. Like, usually this takes about 4 minutes, and I didn't eat at the bris because there were people standing in line. Not because I'm giving anything special, but because it was a unique to that person. And so a woman conveyed to me that she's pregnant and no one knows. So I gave her a bracha like that. And parnasa and shiduchim, whatever it was. But it's unique to that person. I'm not a magical anything. It comes straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I'm a kli, because they choose, only because it's a birkat hedyot, it's a regular person. Any bracha that we receive, we have to remember that it comes straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are so many ideas about Kohanim and recognizing that their avoda is our avoda. Sure, I'm going to give them the first aliyah because it's not about them. And yes, the Vilna Gaon is going to wait, and Rashi is going to wait, and Rabbi Soloveitchik is going to wait because the Kohen, it comes straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's over and over again, and I skipped some Rambams here.
You know, but the idea again of that, even the Rambam himself paskins that way. I'll just, if you want, the next Rambam straight after the Rav Hirsch. The Al titzma v'tomar u'ma to'il birkat hedyot zeh she'en kibul habracha talui b'kohanim ella b'yakarosh baruch hu she'ne'emar v'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avrachim. Who is this person? In my shul specifically, a big shul with Hashem's great blessings, but there are so few kohanim. Very few kohanim. And it's very strange. You can have, you know, literally, as we did on Friday morning when nobody had school and nobody, we literally were maybe 200 people on a weekday minyan, and there was one Kohen who got up. It's very rare. Anyway, one of the family of Kohanim have kids, and this one specific boy, you know, he's, I guess he's probably 15 now, he'll get up, and he gives a bracha to all the people sitting there, some of the people you know, some people you don't yet know, special people who... What is this guy? It's not about this boy. It's about Al titzma v'tomar. What does this help me? It comes straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'ne'emar v'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem hakohanim osin mitzvatan shemitzdavu ba HaKadosh Baruch Hu berachamav mevarech et Yisrael k'cheftzo. So that's what Kohanim do. That's what Kohanim do today. That's what they will do tomorrow when the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt in Mirtz Hashem.
Amen.
And we have to remember over and over and over again, we don't need intermediaries. We don't need agents. We don't need, you know, the middlemen or middlewomen. We go straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, the way our system works, there is a certain kind of physical. We need a Kohen there who represents us. We need a Kohen there to work in the Beit HaMikdash. And our Duchanin today represents that. But we have to think about when every time you learn about halachot of Kohanim, you have to recognize and realize and remember that everything about those Kohanim are to be invisible. And why? Because we are supposed to literally look straight through them and daven and remember and realize that our tefillah comes straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It would be zoche to a shefa of brachot directly from Hashem himself. Have a good evening, everybody.